Hello, I'm Jason Ball, and this is Friends with Friends, the podcast where we discuss all 236 episodes of the TV show Friends, one at a time, and I'm here with my friends.
Hi, I'm Jackie Rodriguez, and I am the ultimate Friends fan. I love talking about the show. I watch it every day, every night. It's my thing.
And I'm Vanessa Martinez. I'm the newbie, and I talk about it with my friends on this podcast, and I'm learning everything there is to know about it.
I find it very refreshing. It's kind of, when I watch the episodes we talk about, it's like the highlight of my kind of week. It's like just a nice little fun break, even though I'm watching it differently than we watch a regular TV show, because we're looking at it with a kind of a critical eye and trying to make notes. But anyway, episode 42, season the 18th episode of season 2, the one where Dr. Ramoray dies, premiered on March 21st, 1996, to 30.1 million viewers. Jackie, what happened?
So Eddie and Chandler finally get to know each other and they bond, but then Chandler finds out the intensity of Eddie's personality, which is at another level. Joey says in the Soap Opera Digest interview that he makes up his own lines, and then he gets killed off of Duel, Days of Our Lives. And the couples, Richard and Monica, Ross and Rachel, have conversations about their magic numbers, which I didn't really like the conversation, but we'll get into that.
I actually loved the conversation, but I thought it was fascinating because I think that's people talk about that.
They do, but I just didn't like how they kind of made Monica less than a ballpark. Oh, definitely. Like, they kind of made her kind of the experienced one, but they kind of shamed her in it. And I've always noticed that before, you know, so they kind of shamed her in that. And so I thought that was interesting that they took that perspective with
and her. It is a lot of fun because and the fact too that they don't ever tell you what the number is, you
yes
leaves to the imagination that it could be, you know, a lot.
Yeah,
but then Richard says, you know, it's not that many.
Yeah exactly, it's not that many. And then it makes a full circle, and then they say I love you to each other. So it's like it's interesting how that conversation evolves, because totally, you're just thinking it's Monica's fault. They're never going to reach a new level. But then he's totally cool with it. He's fine. So makes you like Richard even more.
You have to, it's part of getting to know someone in a relationship too, to have those conversations and get to know each other. And, you know, mm-hmm. Especially when you're an adult and you've lived a life and you know, you have past experiences that, you know, aren't part of your life anymore, but they're still kind of who you are and what you brought to the relationship.
Yeah, all the past experiences develop into who you become in a relationship.
Just for the record, we are not going to have that conversation.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
I don't want to know. No. I don't want to know anything about it.
No. But then also, you kind of see Ross kind of have his doubts on Rachel, and they start having the conversation of, oh, you know, what's your magic number?
Yeah. And she tells him, and then, yeah.
Ross's
insecurity once again rears its ugly head.
Yes. With the whole animal sex.
Yeah, with Paolo.
With Paolo.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is where you see, because Ross, like I said, with the list and then with their relationship develops, them two together, he always feels like he's so jealous and insecure with her. And so you're going to see that more as well. And he realizes that later in the series when they're together, you know, but still, this is where we kind of, for second time, we see it because we have the list, you know? So I didn't really care for that either.
It's him. Irritating to see him. I mean, I it's real. Mm-hmm. I think they're, you know, people do have that honest reaction. So I think it's kind of, I'm glad they did it, because I think it's important to, you know, explore those aspects of relationships. But he's just annoying. It doesn't matter what happened, but where and then the Richard, who's, you know, older and more mature.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he wanted to know. It was important for him to know, but it didn't, you know, affect him in any way.
Yeah, you see the difference between Richard and Ross. And also, I just didn't like how Rachel was okay with having to deal with his insecurity in that sense and defend herself when she shouldn't have to defend herself for her past experiences. She just should be like, hey, accept it, move on. I would have been like, okay, like this would have been a definite red flag for me. And I would have been like, bye bye.
But then I think we also have to remember when Paula met Ross, they didn't really care for each other. Ross didn't really care for Paolo. So I feel like that also, there's also some history to that. Richard doesn't know anybody.
Yeah.
Right. And I think actually Ross probably knows all of her exes. Because there were the ones from high school, then there was Barry, and then there's Paolo. So he probably knows them all, which probably makes it worse.
Yeah.
And Paolo is just like a trigger for Ross because, again, through that experience, and Paolo is everything Ross isn't. So, you know, that's a trigger for him. And so that's why he probably reacts that way. But a confident person that isn't so insecure wouldn't react that way. Like Richard, he was cool with it, you know.
I will say this. It led us an insight into Rachel and why she does like Ross. They have intimacy. They have sweetness. That sort of thing. Because, there are points where I struggle with, like, why does she like him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's annoying. And I like him. I actually do like Ross a lot. Because he's funny and he's dorky and nerdy. And I love a good nerd.
Yeah.
But I know he's good for them.
Yeah. I mean, you want to, two of them together. It's a different dynamic than Ross individually and Rachel individually. Two of them together. And it develops throughout the series and it gets revisited throughout the series about how they were together and they actually acknowledge what they were like together. But still,
it's still new though. Cause this was not really, the good thing about this conversation was that you do kind of understand them a little better now. Mm-hmm. What they're like as a couple.
Yes.
I guess it was smart to have done it that way.
Yeah. And then another thing about this whole exchange with Ross, Rachel, Monica, and Richard is the whole conversation after they have the conversation about their magic numbers. They are both in the bathroom arguing over a condom. And this was unheard of. They didn't actually say the word condom, but we all knew what it was. But this was actually unheard of in that day to have the actual word or to have it show. Marta Kaufman said last year at the TV Tribeca Film Festival, there's an argument where Rachel and Monica fought over who could use the last condom. She says, we could show the box. You could shake the box so you could hear the condom, but you couldn't show the foil packet and you couldn't say condom. It had to be in the box. So I thought that was interesting that they couldn't actually say it, and to have this conversation between two women.
I think this was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 90s. I really do. You had to go to the pharmacist and ask the pharmacist for the condoms. They were behind the counter. You couldn't just go to the rack and buy them.
Oh, okay.
There was this push after AIDS to, really promote condom use. And it was very controversial. And Trojan wanted to advertise on television and it was scandalous.
Really? When did they actually start advertising? In the 90s?
Yeah, but it had to be like late at night. It couldn't be during the family hour, all of that. So it was those safe harbor windows that you couldn't advertise it in. It was pretty scandalous to talk about condoms.
Yeah. I was reading that there was a senator from Connecticut that told Marta that he immediately turned off the TV when he saw that scene because he didn't like it. And she told him, you're missing the whole point of it. It's talking about safe sex.
Right.
Yeah. I remember Monica was like, okay, we're not doing it tonight. They got the last one.
Yeah. And I like, again, it's tackling a serious conversation, making it funny. And it should be practiced, obviously, and I like that they kind of put that in prime time. So,
well, I also think it's interesting that it was the two women.
Yes,
that they had condoms at their apartment, and they had, instead of the guys bringing the condoms or
carrying them around in their wallet.
I don't know if this is really a continuity flaw, but it stuck out in my head is in the last episode when Monica gets the phone from Ross and she thinks she's talking to Richard and it's her mom, and she goes, "Oh, did I leave my diaphragm at your place?"
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Why does she need a condom if she's got a diaphragm?
Yeah, that's true.
They wouldn't certainly be using both. I mean, condoms for more than contraception, you know, and things. But I just thought that was a little continuity error. Yeah. But Jackie, there was some controversy. They kept the fight going with Ross and Rachel because they were afraid that once the once they got together, the audience would get bored with the thing.
Oh yes, in that same festival, the TV Tribeca Festival last year, Marta Kaufman said, "I remember another show, not our show, where you were interested in the show until the couple got together, and then the show went south. So they were afraid that, you know, because Ross and Rachel were together, that they were going to be irrelevant. So, so we were concerned that the coupling of any friends could have sent the show downhill. They were afraid, they were worried about them being so happy and go lucky because everybody was, you know, like rooting for them. Okay, when they get together, what happens, you know?" Didn't we make a reference to like another TV show?
Yeah. So I think the show she was talking about was Moonlighting with Cybill Shepherd and Bruce Willis.
Yes.
So for, I mean, this went on the chemistry and the, you know, the tension, the romantic tension for them went on for seasons. This went on for years and years and years. And they finally got together and it totally ruined the show and it was canceled like the next year.
So maybe they had to like have them argue and show these different sides of the relationship to keep it interesting. Otherwise, they don't want the show to go south after putting these characters together.
Yeah, people love a happy ending, but then the happy ending's over. And, you know,
what happens? Yeah. What
happened? No one wants to know after they lived happily ever after.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like they've done a pretty good job, though, keeping Ross and Rachel's relationship, you know, kind of going up and down because they were going to get together, but then the list comes out and then they fight and then now they're together. So, so far, so good.
Yeah, we're only 42 episodes in. We got almost 200 to go.
And it keeps 194 going. To be exact.
The whole series. They do a good job for 194 more episodes. Oh my goodness.
Let's just leave it at this. They'll be together and it'll be great.
Yeah.
Yes, well, we'll see. We will see, right?
And then while Rachel and Monica are arguing in the bathroom, Ross and Richard
are arguing. Yeah.
And I didn't get the whole argument. I don't know what Deer Hunter or any is that. That's a movie. Like, I didn't understand that reference or so, the legs, you know.
The Deer Hunter and Coming Home are two Vietnam era movies. One, I think one Deer Hunter came out in 78 and Coming Home came out in 79. And they're both very graphic depictions of of Vietnam and then kind of that re-entry for veterans when they came back. And I think actually Richard was right. John Voight was in Coming Home with Jane Fonda in 1979 and the other guy was in Robert De Niro and Christopher Walken are the two big stars of The Deer Hunter, so I'm not sure who they were talking about, but they're both very good, but The Deer Hunter is amazing movie. It was Meryl Streep's second movie and she has a very great role in it, and it's like 3 hours long, but it's amazing because it starts out before they go to, sorry to get off on a tangent, but it's a really great movie, an important movie too. It starts out with their lives before Vietnam and there's this wedding scene that's literally like 20 minutes long. It's a Greek a Russian Orthodox wedding and it goes on forever, and then they go to Vietnam and it's almost like two or three different movies, but it's a very interesting part of cinema that's important to, you should watch it. It's very quick at the end.
Yeah,
I'll check it out.
And then Coming Home is very sad because John Voight comes back and he's paralyzed, and he just that whole reentry and how Vietnam veterans were treated in the after the war too.
Yeah, and the conversation is just okay. So you're gonna have the conversation obviously with somebody older. It's like a son having a conversation with like a dad or an uncle, like a older uncle. Like you, you and Nam, like you know.
Right. Yeah, but I think it's funny that the women were discussing fighting over a condom and they're fighting over a movie.
Yeah, it would be like the roles were reversed in this case.
Very funny. Should we take a quick break and then come back and talk about poor Joey?
Yeah, poor Joey and poor Chandler and Eddie and everybody involved.
Drama.
All right, we'll be right back.
you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, and we are back talking about season 2, episode 18, the one where Dr. Romore dies. And the other thing I think is funny about this episode is everybody's talking about their sex lives, even Chandler, because Eddie accuses Chandler of sleeping with his ex-girlfriend, except Joey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because he's always discussed throughout the whole series. Yeah, that's
the funny part is...
it's like, give him a break.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Joey. I know.
Up to that. The painting in Rachel's bedroom.
Yes.
It's a film noir. That's Burt Lancaster and Elizabeth Scott from like some early 50s movie. But I think the artist is this guy who's an artist here in Los Angeles, Patrick McCarty, who does a lot of that kind of, he takes movie scenes and kind of makes them into cool art. So I have a piece by him and it's pretty cool. Patrick McCarty. You should look him up.
Patrick McCarty.
I'm not 100%
with
him, but I think
Yeah. Well, probably Los Angeles-based artists because they filmed this in Los Angeles and not New York.
I tried to find out, but I couldn't
find it. Yeah.
But poor Dr. Drake Romore. I mean, Joey saying that he writes some of the lines and he gives an example. I'm just like, you didn't change anything.
Yeah, even Phoebe mentions it like, great. But then he gets fired. Because he revealed it.
I think this is the funniest thing ever because he went on Soap Opera Digest and said he writes his own lines, and then the writers do not mess with the writers because they will kill you off in a minute.
Yeah.
Did you know what's funny is the guy who played the writer was actually the head writer for Days of Our Lives.
Oh, he was. Oh. You didn't see his face. You just see the cigarette and the typing.
Yeah, it was very quick.
His name's James Riley, and that shot of Days of Our Lives, his Emmy, and then the back of his head, and that's really is the head writer for Days. So I thought that was fun.
That was cool.
And a little Easter egg there too.
Yeah,
I wonder why they chose that soap opera.
It's an NBC show, so that's probably part of the reason.
Yeah,
I see.
Keep it all in the family.
And his death is so tragic. It was like when Joey was playing that scene, he didn't want to die. He was like, anybody want to go down with me?
No, they're just calling you, Drake.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And they did it in a way, too. Like, we're not bringing this guy back.
Yeah, they did. It's just poor Joey. And the friends all come console him, and he's just really down the dumps. He's just like, this is the biggest thing that happened to me. And they're trying to cheer him up. And he kind of just like, he's just down the dumps right now and sad.
But it shows, too, that actors don't always appreciate the writers who do it. And I never even think about the writers. The script just shows up in my house. Be nice to the ones who got you there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They'll think of the minions. Like, it's the talent there.
A good script. Well, it's not even just that. I mean, a good script can make or break a show. Cinematography. There was one point for movies I'm like, the best movies are about good cinematographers. So who are the good cinematographers? So I got this like thing of watching all the cinematographers because it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does.
As Lauren Tom told us, movies and TV shows are very visual. It's all about the visuals more so than the words.
Poor Joey, though. His first big gig, and it's a no-go now.
Heartbreak. Failure's a big part of that.
What's also heartbreaking is Chandler's roommate and his intensity. Poor Chandler. That is just... It just went from, 50 to, 1,000 in one episode.
That's what I thought was great about Adam Goldberg. I mean, he really... Yeah. Plays into the hilt, and all these guest stars, they write these crazy parts for these guest stars, and they just it's it's got to be fun to come in and do just play this crazy character and then you know, move on.
Yeah, like Brooke Shields, she was pretty crazy.
And Julia Roberts' character was crazy too.
Yep.
Or at least vindictive.
Yeah.
And they're all super memorable. I mean, like, I'm sure Adam Goldberg is, you know, like, people look at him like, I know him from somewhere. And it's like, he only did 3 episodes, but he's super memorable. And as Eddie, you know, with his laugh, Eddie's laugh is hilarious. And then his Sea of Pals, like, I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh. I could never live with anybody like that. That would just freak me out and I wouldn't know what to do.
I just love how much Chandler is really afraid of him.
Yeah.
He is literally afraid of him.
Oh, and this is only the first part of like the intensity. We see it really escalate in the next episode.
Yeah. Did you notice when the girlfriend is there and Chandler says, Joey is a little, I mean, Eddie is a little, and Eddie goes, Eddie shows up at that point, and Eddie's what? A little bit country.
A little bit country. Maria, a little bit rock and roll.
Not a Maria reference. Yeah.
I did know that. Yeah. I was like, I just want to say a little bit rock and roll afterwards.
Chandler's very funny for his rare pop culture references, right?
All his one-liners and the goldfish cracker in the fish tank. Like he's just, I think Chandler's just, he's afraid of him and he's like surprised by him and he just like doesn't know what to do. And until in the next episode, when we see where he kind of takes the stand, but you know, like, it's just silly.
Yeah. But then he freaks out because he thinks Chandler hooked up with his ex-girlfriend and she literally just came to drop off the goldfish tank.
Well, remember he tried to make the girlfriend look like the crazy one.
Yes. And he was back.
He was the crazy one. She dumped him because he was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have brought the
fish tank back. I'm like, nope, that's going in the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get all the excess stuff out.
Stay away from him in any way possible, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cut it off. Cut off.
Leave him in the dust and move on.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Did you guys have any favorite lines?
I didn't really have any favorite lines in this episode. I like the intensity of Eddie, but that's about the only thing I liked in this episode.
I like the when Richard's trying to get Monica to tell him her number, and he goes, I don't need the exact number, just maybe a ballpark. And then she comes out of the bathroom and goes, definitely less than a ballpark.
Oh, that was funny, yeah. My favorite part was when Ross and Rachel were talking about their numbers, and Rachel reveals, you know, with Bella, it was just like animal sex. And then he's like, no, animal sex, not even chipmunk sex with Ross. And it made him feel really sad.
He's just a goober.
Yeah.
All right. That was fun. Coming up in the next episode of Friends with Friends, Eddie and Chandler, things really go south. And then I love this. The self-help book, female empowerment book, causes all sorts of troubles. We'll talk about that. And I want to hear all of your stories about reading those books and how it affected you.
Oh, no. Okay. Follow us on Instagram at Friends with Friends Podcast.
And if you like the podcast, subscribe, download, give us 5-star ratings, and leave nice comments. Until next time.
Tell your friends.
Bye.
Bye.